This podcast is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to help expand our programming, head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a TSW patron. You'll receive exclusive podcasts, access to a VIP Facebook group, monthly prize draws, Facebook Live sessions, and much, much more. Head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a TSW patron today, and the Force will be with you. Always. Welcome to TSW Comics,
a monthly look between the covers of Marvel's Star Wars comic book series.
Hey everyone, welcome back to TSW Comics. This is issue 8. An unusual one this time because we're going to be covering two books this month. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob Cast.
No Tim this month, unfortunately. Our schedule clashed with Tim's recording schedule on the Nerd Room. Unfortunately, it's the silly season. There's a Star Wars movie. There's a huge holiday. So we thought we'd just get this episode recorded without Tim, and he'll join us again next month.
Yes. Oh, and also, too, he's moving into his new Nerd Room.
He is, sorry. <yes. laughs> There should be a sight to behold once the new Nerd Room version 3
is. I can only imagine. It's going to be. I can't wait.
So. Everyone gets more and more stellar, so this should be fun.
More wall space, I'm sure. So congratulations, Tim, and we can't wait to talk to you after the holidays.
Yeah, I hope everything with the move went well. I know that. Well, with the Nerd Room recording, it must be everything must be on schedule.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, we wish them all the luck in the world. Let's do a season's greetings, because if you are a TSW VIP, if you're part of our Patreon campaign, you're getting this on Christmas Day. So happy holidays, everybody. And if you're not, you're getting this on about the 28th, so it's run up to New Year. So season's greetings and happy New Year to everybody.
Yes, season's greetings, definitely. Actually, you and I were on a round table last week.
We were.
And it was kind of like a VIP Christmas party, because I went ahead and I jammed it with so many VIPs to get the Last Jedi reaction. But that was a great time. And again, I want to thank everybody for coming on. And it's just so nice. There's so much social media interaction, especially in this VIP group. It's such a tight group. And just to be all, it was like we're all together, you mean, talking about Star Wars. It was great.
It was lovely. I think we nearly broke Skype that night.
Yes.
We hit a few potholes. Did I say plot holes? We nearly broke Skype, but it was a lot of fun. It was a hell of a lot of fun. And there's a lot of people on there who I've interacted with online, hadn't had a chance to speak to in person. Among them, of course, was Kyle.
Yes.
Actually having an opportunity to speak to Kyle from Tumbling Saver for the first time, even though we've been working together now for a long time building the Commonwealth. We've never actually spoken.
Well, that's what I mentioned to him earlier in the day, and he messaged me back for something like we do in the Commonwealth. We have our showrunner, like our show host Twitter feed, so we can all communicate with each other. And he was messaging me about something, and I'm like, are you around like in about 15 minutes? And do you want to hop on real quick? And he's like, oh, I've never actually spoken to Mark. I'm like,
yeah. It was nice. It was a real treat. Both him and Carlos, of course, because I've been a huge fan of Carlos's for a long time. So it was fantastic. It was a great show. It's like you were saying before we started recording this episode, it's very therapeutic for everybody because of the difficulties over the Last Jedi being so divisive. And it was nice for this little support, impromptu support podcast to pop up.
Yes.
So people could sort of vent their grievances. And
also, too, next roundtable, we'll be going back to probably the two-host, two-VIP format, so it won't be so crowded. This was just a special event, so.
Yeah, it'll be a more manageable workload, especially for you when you've got to edit that beast afterwards. I did not envy you that night. It was very nice to sort of say, good night, Rob, and go to bed.
And when did you get the show? I think it was 24 hours later. I'm like, I think I got it.
And I thought, oh, this is great. I can just upload this now. I don't have to do anything else. It's one. What a wonderful feeling that is. All right, let's get into our show notes then. So because we are going to be tackling two issues of Darth Vader, because somehow we've managed to fall out of sync with the releases. I don't know what happened there. But we got two issues of Darth Vader to catch up on, so we're not going to do any news or anything this month. There's not a great deal out there anyway. But I did want to just mention Aphra, issue 13. Before we get stuck into the Vader of it all, I found myself quite disappointed with Aphra last month because I'd missed an issue. I missed issue 13.
Okay.
But I picked up issue 14 and I read it and didn't even notice that I'd missed issue 13. And I really enjoyed 14 and I loved the art and everything was great. And it wasn't until I'd, I think I might have even gone back for a second pass at 14 and I noticed that it was the first part of a new story and I thought, hang on, how did the last story wrap up? That's when I realised I'd missed a, an entire issue. And I was quite surprised that it wasn't... I love Aphra and I felt like I was engaged with it.
Right.
But clearly not if I hadn't seen the end of the Rur storyline.
Right.
So I quickly went and picked up 13, read it, was disappointed with the artwork, was really disappointed with Aphra on holiday and all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if we're, because that was the Vader arc. And yes, as we all know, Aphra came from the first Darth Vader run that had 25 issues. So this was, it was, again, I don't know what it is about Aphra. It just seems when we're looking forward to something, when they just released Aphra, I was so pleasantly surprised. I really, really loved the run. And then it's like, oh, we're going to have Citadel where they're going to cross over with the Star Wars proper. And we're going to have Luke and Aphra, and I was so excited, and it was like, it fell on. I know Steve Geo from Tumbling Saber, Journalist of the Wills, he loved it. It was just, but the magical part of it, I didn't sit well with me, so I didn't like it. And then here it's like, oh, here she's back with Vader, and then excitement again, and I don't know. I don't know if it has something to do with expectations or...
Could be. It could also be that you... To me now, Aphra's like a premium character to me.
Yes.
She might not be Star Wars top tier characters like your Han and your Luke and your Vader, but to me she's up there. Oh, this is probably going to ruffle some feathers. Maybe maybe with Boba Fett, because she really strikes the same sort of chord for me. She's this, you know, she's this fiery character and she's morally ambiguous in a way. I enjoy her with the same part of my mind that I enjoyed reading Boba Fett or watching Boba Fett.
Right.
So she's like a second tier character to me. So perhaps putting her in a book with a premium tier character isn't necessary. And maybe it becomes a bit distracting. A bit of a waste of time.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like you said, the artwork seemed, I don't know, this is going to sound silly, but it almost seemed Archie comic.
Oh yeah, it was terrible.
If I can paint a picture for somebody, and if I don't mind the direction, but not, just not for my Star Wars.
Yeah. No, yeah. I didn't, I'm flicking through it now. I didn't like it at all. I mean, that, the Emperor, can you see?
Yeah.
He looks like a critter from off of the 80s.
Yes.
It just does not look good. And the artwork on the book up until that point had been not 100%. But for the most part, they've been wonderfully illustrated books.
Yes.
And what I've just read and just reread this evening to get caught up in terms of Vader, especially issue 9, the art direction, not just the illustration, but the art direction in that book is so full of energy. It's so wonderful. It actually felt like watching a little movie.
Yes.
And looking at still panels. And that Aphra book 13 did not pull that off at all.
Well, also, too, if you recall, I'm sure you do, the issue 5 of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
The one that blew us away. That's the one where I almost messaged you at, I think it would have been 4 in the morning UK time. But as soon as I got home, I read it and, we were just all blown away. And for the most part, when he was trying to bleed the crystal for the lightsaber, and there was, 4 pages, no words? All art, all panels, and perfect. So, and it's continuing to do so in the Vader run. So, wow, it's just, I don't know if we're holding, you know, I mean, when you're holding Aphra to that, you know, like when you, when I open my Star Wars comics and open Aphra, oh, that's good. And then I open Vader, it's like, whoa. Like,
yeah. See, that is the problem, that when you consume as much of this stuff as we do, certainly you do, Rob, because your pull list is unprecedented. But when you're looking at so much quality, the first time it dips, even just slightly, it's really noticeable. Right. And that's the thing I think with Aphra, is that issue 13, fittingly 13, was such a misstep that maybe I wouldn't have noticed if I hadn't have missed the book. If I'd have picked the book up when it was released and read it, maybe I wouldn't have noticed. But because I went back and I read it, I thought, well, I didn't miss anything. And what I just read, number 14, was fantastic. It was glorious, beautifully illustrated, great story. The first misstep is a bit, it's obvious.
Yeah, and but they're also the problem, too. You're reading such an excellent Darth Vader run, and then you have Darth Vader again in the Aphra book. And you look at, you're literally, it's not like we read this Darth Vader run a couple of years ago, and now our memory's kind of mushy when it comes to what he looked like. We just put Darth Vader down and then pick up Aphra, and it's like, wait a second, is that the same guy? Like, you know what I mean?
It is a problem. And this is something I've mentioned on the other podcast as well about Vader, about how maybe it's time to sort of set him down now. We had Vader in Rogue One. I'm hoping that they don't fall into that trap with Solo, because maybe it's time to sort of set that character down and move forward without him. Be brave enough to start telling stories without him. And maybe that includes Aphra. You don't need to keep going back to that well and drawing on that character as a resource. She can stand on her own.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's been fantastic on her own. So,
yeah. Really good. So, and anyway, I wanted to have that whinge. It's not all positive in, I mean, I'm only reading these two titles now. So, it's not all positive in those two titles. They are the best out there, I think, but it's not always good.
Oh, but on a good note, Poe Dameron's been picking up steadily since for the last five issues, and also I'm looking forward to reading more than that, considering we just saw The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of character building, and the Poe Dameron run is pre Force Awakens, so that's starting to, it's just the run itself is starting to be good. And Mace Windu, what was it, issue four? Issue four, I was not a fan. Of course I pull it before this show, and it's Star Wars, so my comic book guy has standing orders. If it's Star Wars, you pull it. So I've been reading it, and I wasn't impressed, but this Mace Windu, they had kind of a flashback thing to when he was a Padawan learner, and it was actually, issue four was pretty good. It might finish strong.
Is it just one more? Is it one of those five?
I believe it's just one more.
What a shame.
But, you mean, I don't know. If they read the first three, I can understand why.
As a as a collection, do you think it would work sort of as a one-off read from cover to cover?
As a trade?
Yeah.
If they finish like they did in issue four, then yeah, it would be, I think I'd enjoy it.
Because I picked up the trades. Well, I picked up the trade for Lando and loved it. And I picked up the trade for Solo recently and I didn't finish it. I need to finish it.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling with it.
I know. It's exactly what you'd expect out of a, it's what you'd want out of a Solo comic, but and then it's like, well, I didn't want this in a comic.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It's playing the same notes as we've seen in the movies. And some of this should explore, like with Vader, they're exploring areas of the Vader character we haven't explored before, we haven't seen on screen before. And they're doing some great stuff. I mean, there's something in issue 8 of Vader that we're just about to talk about that I just absolutely love. I love it so much I could actually probably print and frame this. But we'll get to that in a second. We're just about, is there anything else you want to shout out from your pull list over the past month?
Because of Tim gave us the news last week, I found Darth Maul, Sons of Dathomir out in the wild.
Oh, really?
The trade paperback. Okay. Yeah, I found the trade paperback. I haven't been able to dive into it yet. I know Kyle and Steve have over at Tumbling Saber, but it's out there. So of course, when I walked into the comic book store, it was Chris there, the owner of the store. He goes, oh, I got something for you. I just got this in. And he pulled it off the shelf. And of course, I'm like, so you might, if your guy doesn't know you're a Star Wars fan, you might have to go look for it, but they're in the stores now. They're out there.
Yeah, and that's a trade, right? And
that's a form of Dark Horse. That's Legends, I guess. So, but still, I've been hearing fantastic things, and I've just been able to nibble at it. So I'm not gonna, come in with a full review. But yeah, they're out there. So
yeah, well, if you are interested in hearing that book discussed, Steve and Cole covered it on Journals of the Willing last episode.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can go and check out the Tumbling Saber feed, pick up Journals of the Willing, and listen to those guys break that down. Always reliable. I will be picking that up at some point, I think. Yeah. The only issue I have is with canon. If the story's being recanonized, because it's come out, it's badged as Marvel. So yeah, it looks like a recanonization.
Hey, well, you could be forgiven if you picked it up and it says 2017 Marvel. And
yeah.
Being
a bit fast and loose with this kind of thing at the moment.
Yeah, boy, howdy.
Yeah. All right, let's move into our Darth Vader discussion anyway, because we've got a couple of books here to break down. So we're going to look at issue number 8 first. The show notes, I'll probably include the show notes, I think, with this month's podcast so that people can download and see what we're looking at as we talk about it. But I'll just do a quick story recap, Rob. Hopefully this is accurate. So in issue 8, Jocasta Nu returns to the Jedi Temple to retrieve what we learn is a list of Force-sensitive children. Her intention is to establish a training temple and raise the next Jedi Order. Palpatine warns Vader about becoming a tool of the dark side by losing himself to hate. Whilst Jocasta Nu's droid, B2, destroys her ship to prevent them from being discovered, Vader, who is still unknown to the Empire at large, identifies a Jedi starfighter from the wreckage and heads to the temple in search of the Jedi infiltrator. This is another great entry. And I'm finding myself now, Rob, when I'm rating these things, because of, we mentioned it previously, issue 5 being so strong, I'm finding it very hard to sort of grade these books in relation to that. Yes. You'll notice my ratings now. I've had to use a 0.5 because this is great and the next one's better, but still not quite up to it. Issue 5, but this is fantastic.
See now you're falling into my Dark Knight rule.
Yeah, this is why I don't rate.
Yep, when you pull out it, when you use the 10, and like I rated issue 5 as a Star Wars 10. So now everything has to compete to that.
Yeah,
even that's the watermark. So
it's tricky, and the thing is as well. So I find myself tripping over into subjectivity as well. So with some of these things, like the frame we've got in the panel that I've copied and put into the show notes now, which we'll discuss in a second, that might be something that pushes this book further to me. The storytelling in 5 got it up to the 10.
Yes.
But it's things like this, art like this, and what it's suggesting about the story and about the character that is pushing this still further. So it's getting that balance between what this does in a blip and what the other one does consistently.
But also too, in issues like this, because you're thinking they're so such high quality. I don't know if we want to mention where this is obviously spoilers
for the comics.
For this comic.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, so from having an astromech blow himself up, being an astromech builder, I don't know if I can agree with that, even though it was for a good cause.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
Okay, so I won't dock any points there, but at the Jocasta Nu, when she reveals herself at the end, just out of anger.
Yes, yeah.
That, because if basically she's seeing, she's... in the library, and who's rifling through?
The Grand Inquisitor.
Yes. So the Grand Inquisitor, and he's kind of throwing the books over his shoulder and being nonchalant, and she never let him in there when he was a Jedi, and then watching him angers her, and then she reveals herself. And just because of that, pulled me out going, I can't imagine a Jedi doing that.
Yeah.
You know, especially out of anger, which is opposite of the Jedi. And
exactly.
You know, you'd be trained to just keep calm, keep stealth.
Especially when she's doing something as important as she is, which is retrieving the most vital of resources, which is the seed for the next Jedi Order. So yeah, I get why they did it dramatically to put those two characters at odds, but yeah, you're right. In terms of dealing with it and being true to these characters, maybe not so much.
And that's what you're saying with this panel we're about to look at here with Vader. It bumps up the comic, and that's like we said with issue 5, but issue 5 didn't have that thing that, oh, I don't know if that would happen or play out.
No.
So that's how a perfect 10 has got to be a perfect 10. It has to be start, style, you mean, you're the routine, and you got to stick the landing.
And like, it has to add, this is the thing we've come back to numerous times since we've been doing this podcast, isn't it, Rob? It has to add something to the character that makes you, if it recontextualizes what you know and understand already, then it's hit a home run. Which is what Darth Maul didn't necessarily do. It kind of played it safe. But this book, it's adding qualities to Vader that enhance my experience with that character retrospectively or retroactively.
Well, that's what we said. Darth Maul, a fantastic looking book. It's a fun read, but didn't add anything. Han Solo, again, looks great, fun read, didn't add anything. Lando, on the other hand.
Oh, I did so much.
Added like it just, and it and I guess for us as Star Wars fans, like it's just, oh, now that gets a bump up because of what it gave us.
And not even for the lead character, it's what it did for a supporting character that made it stand out, which is great. But I made a few notes about my thoughts on this, on issue 8 of Darth Vader, and I've written here that it's more than filler, but it doesn't progress the story too far. Now, fortunately, I reread this today, followed by 9. So together, they form a nice, cohesive, well-paced story. On its own, it doesn't really progress the story too much, but it's great writing, it's great art. It's interesting to hear things like Palpatine warning Vader about the trap of the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can very quickly become a slave to it rather than its master. So that was really interesting. And it's also interesting that Vader is largely unknown within the Empire. Like, there's an officer that doesn't know who he is. What do you have a rank and what do I call you? That's kind of how new Vader is. So that's really important as well for landing this story in time, because, of course, Vader doesn't change. He's the same character that you see board the tent even Episode 4, isn't he?
Yeah, and also, too, he can't be General Skywalker, because technically he's with the same army.
Yes.
He didn't defect. I mean, he's not branched out, so he, you know, yeah, it's a weird, it's weird to see. It's actually good to see how people are looking at him going, okay, what are you? Or
yeah, who are you? What are you? What's your response? Yeah. What's our responsibility to you? It's a very interesting relationship that he has with this new Empire. And we do hear it referred to as a new empire in this book as well. But this panel that I've selected, it's something I think is really quite wonderful. It shows us, it's an image, an interpretation of Vader who's deep in meditation. And it calls back to something I've mentioned on numerous podcasts now about Vader using the Force to try and repair himself.
Yes.
I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing a vision of Vader hovering over what seems to be stormy seas. You've got the dark side represented here in this storm, lightning storm, cloudy skies. And I think you've got the light side represented in these beautiful blue and white sort of butterflies. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see the figure of Vader illustrated, the top half of the body is ravaged, it's red, it's just, it looks like pain and agony. It's really disquieting illustration. And then the missing parts of Anakin, the arms and the legs, are all white.
Just like, blank, yep.
Just like this, the light, he's accessing that full form through the light side of the Force. And I just love this image. I'm in love with this image, it's so wonderful.
Yeah, it's great, and all, like it says, it shows. You mean it almost, without saying anything, because there's no words on the page other than Lord Vader, and that's when the Emperor comes in the room to disturb his meditation. But like, it's almost, it shows you what he's going through without actually saying anything.
Yeah, that you say Vader. I think that's his aide.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
Vani from Rogue One, right?
This is I was just I have the next page in the corner here, and I just saw the black robe at the.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's the aide that we meet in Rogue One, who also comes to Vader to interrupt his meditation once again. So that guy's lucky he's still alive. But yeah, it's very interesting. I think that this is the image that caught my imagination most in this book, to see that in issue 5, Vader are kind of committed to the dark side and to the new persona of Darth Vader wholly and completely. I think his line in that book was, "This is all there is."
Right.
Like hatred and pain. And then here we see him like apparently using the light side in some way to achieve some goal, and now, he's being pulled out of it.
Yeah, is it okay, while he's meditating, these butterflies that are floating around. Now of course when people look at the show notes they'll see the picture, but you think these butterflies representing are interrupting his meditation, or are they part of it?
I think they're part of it. Yeah. I think we're seeing a form of balance here in a way, because I mean, admittedly, we've got more dark side imagery on screen than light side, and we're off kilter because the image is composed in a way that it favours. It's got a tilt to the image. The framing's eccentric. Mm-hmm. I think it's showing how confused and how off balance Vader is. And then we've got this image peppered with something that represents to me light side. So it's showing, I think, that there's something still there. If Palpatine had his way, this would all be dark side. It would all be turmoil and chaos for Vader.
If only they would make a movie about balance.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? Just focus on balance for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Oh, someday. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we'll avoid the Last Jedi conversation tonight. But
What did you think about the next page where when he gets interrupted and he has his new crimson saber ignited and floating in front of him? Is that like maybe lighting a candle to help you meditate, you think? Or it is
could,
he just
could be maybe lightsabers are scented and we never realized. I'm not entirely sure what to make of it. I think the function of the illustration itself might be to show that he's yet to construct Vader's hilt, so it's still it's almost like he's 90% committed to this path, because he's still using somebody else's blade, somebody else's crystal, somebody else's hilt. And until he's completed the construction of the new hilt, perhaps it's showing that he hasn't quite completely immersed
himself. Yeah, because they're really making a meal out of it in this second page, where they're showing the blade floating, and then they show a picture of the hand trying to grab the hilt, and you show it, him grasping the blade. Yeah, so I think you're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
There's some sort of symbolism at play there. I thought it was quite odd to have that there, but it's, to me, the information I took away from it was that the hilt isn't there yet. Even though on the front cover we do see the Skywalker hilt, don't we? The Skywalker design, with the black accents, which is Vader's hilt. And the cover itself is kind of a reimagining of that scene of him meditating within the Force, because he's floating cross-legged, but you're seeing his arms and legs in that. So there's some mixed messages kind of going on there. But yeah, with that lightsaber floating, I'm pretty sure that it is, he's using it perhaps to focus on, but we are, as a reader, are being told, notice this. This is the difference. He's not quite there yet, which suggests to me that in a later issue we might see the construction of that hilt at some point, which will be a thrill for me, because there's just a little detail that I'm looking forward to. There's the aide, I think Vani, disturbing Vader to send him on his next mission, which I really love. So I think that's it before we move on to issue 9. But is there anything else you took away from issue 8 that you wanted to bring up? Obviously, because I'll put these notes together, Rob, if there's anything you want to focus on.
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting how Vader did the forensics on the
oh, that was great.
The ship. Yeah, the ship with basically the astromech, Jocasta's astromech, rolled up, self-destructed, which blew up her ship, so they didn't know who was in the building. And it was they sacrificed the droid to blow up the ship. And then Vader comes in, and he does a force move. And in the panel, and they can only do this unless they had, like, in a comic where they had shards coming together. So you can make out the astromech, and you can make out the ship. It wasn't perfect, but he was like, yep, now we know who's here.
Yeah.
Because he basically took the ship blew up with the astromech, so you got all these pieces like a jigsaw, and Vader, using the force, just... in a snap of a finger, boink, no, he just pieced it all back together. It's like, yeah, no, that's the ship that was here.
Yeah, and he's no nonsense with the Imperial officer as well, the person investigating it, who believes that it's that there's Jedi graffiti at the site, of the, and rather than it being a Jedi emblem from a ship, he thinks it's graffiti, and they just think they're terrorists. And Vader gives him no quarter and says, you're wrong, this is what it is, that the Jedi on the planet... You search everywhere else. Don't go to the temple.
Yes.
And the Imperial officer says, well, someone needs to go to the temple. He says, don't worry, someone will. And, of course, that's Vader, and that leads us beautifully into issue 9.
Yes. And also, too, last thing on number 8, the cover art is just fantastic.
It's great. It's a great cover. It's a really good... Oh. But they do have... These Vader books have had really strong... covers, I think. I mean, the artwork inside is beautiful, but they've had really, really strong cover art, really evocative stuff, and it's made for good podcast art for us as well on this show, because every single one of them has been lifted from the front covers of the books. So should we move into 9?
Yes, absolutely.
This is great. This, so like you said, in the main part of the book, certainly as it relates to Jocasta Nu, is her confronting the Grand Inquisitor, who we are all familiar with from Rebels, so we know that Jocasta Nu doesn't get the upper hand. But a quick, a brief recap on the story. So Vader returns to the Jedi Temple to confront the Jedi he has learned is on the planet. Meanwhile, in the temple, Jocasta Nu confronts the Grand Inquisitor because of the disrespect he's showing to the Archive, and he gets the upper hand in a duel. Then Vader enters and prevents the Grand Inquisitor from killing Jocasta Nu. So we learn through that, I think, that Jocasta Nu has some value to Vader and to Palpatine, who clearly intend to use her to access the archives for whatever reason. So Jocasta Nu heads deep into the archive once Vader is distracted with the Inquisitor. She disappears deep into the archive and purges all the data, leaving the Sith with nothing, essentially. And Vader enters the vault where Jocasta Nu was previously, that had some holocrons in there, and the droid called K'Tor, I think his name was. He identifies Vader as being Anakin from biological scans, because obviously it's the Jedi Temple, so his biological data is present there. And then Vader destroys the droid, which I thought was quite sad, because I really like that character. So Jocasta Nu also became aware that Vader was Anakin Skywalker and goes searching for some of the protected items deep within the archive, and produces a blaster that uses the Jedi's lightsaber as its power source. And then she confronts Vader, which is a little bit like... It gave me sort of a Ripley from Aliens kind of feel, that this woman is tooling up and going after this huge alien beast. Great book. Great book. Really strong follow-up to another great book in issue 8.
Yeah, and I won't watch... I don't think I won't watch Attack of the Clones the same.
Really,
with Jocasta Nu.
Yeah, you won't see her the same. It doesn't... Now, this... If I was going to level any criticism at this... book, and I don't think it's necessarily fair, because the short amount of time we spend with Jocasta Nu in the film, it's not really fair to judge this character based on that, but they don't seem like the same person necessarily to me, beyond the hairstyle and the name. It doesn't feel like I'm seeing the woman from the film in this book.
No, but from Clone Wars.
Right,
I don't know. I don't know if you're familiar with that, because that's
not overly so. I have seen all of the Clone Wars, but not overly familiar.
Yeah, but that's they show there's some scenes with in the library and she's passing through. But also too, if you're a Jedi, you know, that mean like, and you just happen to be the librarian, you're still a Jedi. You know, like Finn, he was a janitor, but he was still trained as a stormtrooper.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, presumably there are Jedi in that temple who have custodial duties. There's probably a Jedi whose responsibility is to flip burgers. So
yeah, and Jedi podcasters.
Yeah, probably Jedi podcasters. There's a job for us. Check LinkedIn, Rob, see what we can get. So there is one element to this, and it's one of the panels that I've snatched and put into the show notes here. There's one element to this that I really, when I read this three panel here with Jocasta Nu using Chirrut Imwe's line from Rogue One, I am one with the Force and the Force is with, and she doesn't quite finish the sentence, but when I read that, I thought, that's great. I love that. I love things like that. What a nice touch. But she manages to stay. She's making peace with the fact that she's about to die at the hands of the Grand Inquisitor. But the onomatopoeia we're seeing in those panels is Vader stepping in and preventing her from being killed. So a great set of panels. Really, because we know that's Star Wars shorthand to us now. We know what she was preparing herself for through the use of that line.
Yep.
And that's great. That is great writing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's because, again, we have this character, like you said, we have this character we don't know anything about. And even when we first stumbled upon her, I remember when Tim read it and we pointed out, I'm like, yeah, I believe you said, oh, that's Jocasta Nu. And Tim's like, wait, what?
Yeah, yes. Because
it's so far off the map. And yeah, why not? And okay, it wouldn't be my first choice out of all the Jedi we've seen in the movies, but okay, let's go down this. But I guess between a little bit we've seen of people visiting the library in Clone Wars, we haven't really seen her. And they explored a lot of the Padawan Jedis in the Clone Wars. And I guess this is just somewhere else you can go. And actually, being the archive, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. If you would have told me about it, I would have, But reading it now, oh, yeah, of course. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. It's in the Clone Wars, Rob, did they introduce this character that she leaves in the archive, this droid, Kator? Did they introduce that character in the Clone Wars?
I don't know. They might have, but just I can't be.
I really like sure. it. I would really love an action figure of this droid.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
I really think he's awesome.
And it makes sense too, because even if it's technology. So it's going to recognize you. So even if I, being a Jedi, if I turn to the Sith and I try to turn on my iPhone with my thumbprint, it's still going to work.
Yeah.
Whether I'm a Jedi or a Sith, because it's technology. It reads different.
Yes.
So yeah, great.
Yeah. It's, I also like there was a little touch when she returned to the archive, and clearly she's been away for some time since Order 66. And he's been in there. It's as if no time has passed. And he just picks up his interaction with her as if, oh, well, I'm still here. I'm still guarding this stuff.
Yep.
And then she obviously shows a very Zen-like approach to this technology and says, well, I'm off now. And if we cross paths again, then so be it. If we don't, thanks very much. Yep. And there's no attachment there at all to this character that we're about to see be destroyed by... In the next issue, we're about to see be destroyed by Vader, brutally destroyed.
So, what do you think about the Anakin reveal when she finds out? She hears this droid being destroyed and interacting with Vader, and then she's running off, saying, "You know, Skywalker, oh, this is very bad." Did you think?
Well, they're revealing her fate, aren't they? Clearly,
yeah, yeah.
There's no secret where this is going now.
No,
because she can't keep that knowledge. Going forward. So I guess that was, to me, that one line was a huge reveal, and it takes away the suspense of what's going to happen to Jocasta Nu, but adds suspense in as much as what the hell is going to happen in the next, in issue 10, what is going to happen when these two characters confront each other, because we know where it's going. You can't have that information in Star Wars because you your days are numbered, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you were mentioning before, I don't know if you wanted to get into this. Yeah,
we need to shout spoilers.
Oh, yes,
for The Last
yes.
Jedi. Yeah, spoiler warning for The Last Jedi coming up. Yes. What we're about to discuss.
Now, we were talking leading up to The Last Jedi, and we knew that we through the trailers and the TV spots we saw, we knew Luke was going to be hiding somewhere, and deep in some tree, he was going to have these journals from the Jedi, or journals of the Wills. We don't know what they were. We just know they were actual physical books.
Yeah.
And in the comics, you were mentioning that, as they're leading up, wouldn't it be great if it was setting up The Last Jedi? Because Jocasta Nu finds a way to hide these books.
Yeah, this is the issue that should have happened to him.
Yeah, and they didn't do that.
No, I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
And somehow I knew I would be.
Yeah, but also, too, with her, basically all the Force-sensitive children, this is a moot point, too. So even if we're watching Last Jedi and we're thinking Rey is going to continue and start her own Jedi Academy or learn on her own or teach others, the children in these archives would be
gone.
Adults.
Yeah.
You know, if the Vader gets a hold of this information.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. There's a couple of points that you've just landed there. It is interesting that, it feels to me that perhaps they're riffing here on elements they knew were going to come into play in The Last Jedi, so that it would be an echo of what's going on in The Last Jedi. It would be, Jocasta Nu plans to set up a Jedi training temple the way Luke did, as we learned in The Last Jedi. Jocasta Nu has to get the names of all the Force-sensitive children to meet that end's goal. So, obviously, we know that Rey is most likely going to need to find Force-sensitive children to rebuild the Jedi Order in the next movie or maybe subsequent movies. So it seems to me like they're just trying to echo those points and not really trying to land anything for this story, just playing with those themes going into the film. It makes it feel clever, I guess, if they say, there's the...
It's very Star Wars. It's very Star Wars to mirror...
Yeah, the rhyming stanza, this is George's thing, right? So, but I really hoped for more, and this is, I'd started to say on previous episodes of this show, I said to both yourself and to Tim, that I feel that I'm giving the story group too much credit. I'm putting too much faith in them, thinking that this book was going to drop, and what we see Jocasta Nu exit the Jedi Temple with would be the stack of books that we would then see in Luke's possession on Octo.
Yep.
That's what I'd hoped for. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody else, but to me, that made perfect sense that would be where we see it. That would be so rewarding. It's not the required reading aspect.
No. Nope.
This is the argument we trip over all the time, that you shouldn't have to read Darth Vader number 9 to make sense of The Last Jedi, and you wouldn't have to, but it would make this book way more important. Because we know the origins of those, but it doesn't matter where they started before they ended up in the Jedi Temple. It just means that Jocasta Nu knew they were that important. She would go, retrieve them, and they would eventually make their way in a couple of decades to Luke on Octo. So I feel really disappointed that it didn't go there.
Yeah, but they weren't page turners, apparently.
No.
I haven't read them personally, but Yoda doesn't think.
I read that review on Space Amazon by Yoda1234 saying, not so much with the page turning. Yeah, I think it's a real shame they didn't do that. It's not the only time they've missed something or they've lost. Yeah. And even in this book's been so wonderful at setting up these great ideas in canon that have gone nowhere near the movies. What a shame.
Well, the timing would have been, especially when they made such a meal out of those journals in the movie. It made it such a point, especially in Luke's development through that story.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, the timing would have been perfect. Like, it's too delicious not to...
I know, isn't it a shame?
Yeah.
Isn't it such a shame? And it's not the only element. That's the That was the latest element. And with the timing of the issue 9's release, it seemed perfect to me. And that's not the only element they missed. It's this lightsaber. I'm looking back at the panel in the show notes now. It's this lightsaber that belonged to Kirrikin Felaar, a Jedi warrior who was in exile, taking the Barriss Vale, was in exile. That was his crystal that was bled by Vader. Another technique we've learnt about, bled by Vader, to give him his Crimson Blade in this weapon. All of these elements swimming around this gorgeous Star Wars soup, all of them ripe to be used in The Last Jedi in some way. Luke's in exile as he takes the Barriss Vale. There's a red crystal in The Last Jedi. Kylo has a red crystal at the heart of his lightsaber. Whose is it? Has he bled it? Where did it come from? What is this?
Yep.
What is the weapon's heritage? All of that stuff's been left just lying there.
I know.
What's the shame? Now, I shouldn't criticize something for what it isn't. And I'm sure there are people out there right now that are thinking, don't criticize something for what it isn't. This is my problem. I've brought this problem to these books.
Yep.
And they don't suffer for it. They don't suffer because they've missed that step. And The Last Jedi doesn't suffer because it's failed to include my headcanon.
Yes.
There are just these wonderful elements that have been crafted in storytelling, Star Wars storytelling, that would work so well in a film without becoming a distraction for people that haven't read the comic books. Such a shame.
And it just, and also too, it's we don't get to go on our Star Wars podcast reaction shows and go, did you catch that?
Yeah.
don't get to.
That's it. I wanted the smug points, Rob. I wanted the smug points, and I've been looking way back to Rogue One when I first said they're gonna have the shuttle Tyderium. They're gonna use the Tyderium to escape from Edo.
And
when they said go and get us another ride, I was thinking, oh, here come my smug points, and then they didn't do it. I thought, what a shame!
No.
What a shame they didn't deliver on something like that. But, you know, these are the things. This is why it's fun to be a Star Wars commentator. This is why it's fun to be a theorist, to kick these things around for years in the hope that they'll go somewhere. If they don't, like I said, the film doesn't suffer because those elements are missing. These books don't suffer because those elements are missing. It's just my headcanon, and I've enjoyed shaping those theories and paying attention to what the writers are doing. I love it. I just think, you know, the story group should be there orchestrating this stuff. It works so well.
Yeah, and also too, I love it when we have new VIPs that come into Talk Star Wars and be like, oh, "You haven't read Vader? Oh, wow!"
Yeah,
you know, like you just get the, "Oh, you're gonna love this." Like,
yeah, Carlos wasn't so happy with us on the roundtable, was he? Now that he has his own pull list,
yeah, he does
in the comic book store because he's very new. He's a very new reader now, isn't he?
Yes, he said, at his age to be starting to pull comics and also, and that's why I made the point. Yeah, they call them dealers for a reason.
Yeah.
Comic book dealers because, you know, you got to have that drug.
So. That's it. You got the paper crack and now I have the plastic crack behind me. I'm going to tell that story at some point. I think actually what is today, if you're a VIP, today's Christmas Day, maybe today's episode of The Daily will be my story about Rob getting me hooked on Kenner Vintage, because I'm going to blame you, Rob.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, you can see my 12 are right behind me.
I can see you. Yeah, that's see you.
But I got that Bespin Luke and that Yoda looking at me going, we need Hoth Han here, Rob. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, over here somewhere.
Yeah, I see him.
You can just see my modest collection of vintage. Just added a Greedo last week.
Yes.
There's plenty more on their way to me. In the mail right now. So,
yep, that's you can't. Again, I told you I was going to collect just the 12, but somebody gave me the Yoda. Actually, my comic book guy, because I found, ironically, when I was moving out with my grandmother a couple of years ago, I found a box for a He-Man's Castle Grayskull.
Right.
He's a He-Man collector, and there was no Castle Grayskull in it. It was just the physical box.
Right.
And I brought it to him like, oh, you're a He-Man fan. Here, have this. Because it's a shame to throw out, but I know he'd enjoy it. He goes, he gives me an Empire vintage Yoda with the belt and the snake and the cane and the robe, fully intact. I'm like, And then we went to Celebration. I picked up Bespin Luke because it was too good to turn down. And then I've managed. There's no other Empire. Even though Empire is my favorite film, there's no other Empire characters on my shelf.
Yet.
Yeah. We'll see you in Celebration 2019.
19 is, yeah. I know this isn't comic talk, but I think there's probably some substance.
It's Christmas talk.
It is Christmas talk. I was, because obviously you and I, we spent a lot of time with Dan Solo in Florida when we were at Celebration. We had dinner and a lovely chat with Dan. Dan shared on the Facebook group around about the time I was in a store. I went to visit Paul, my co-host and one of my best friends, Paul. Went to visit him. He lives in a little seaside town, and there's this gorgeous little shop in there. And I picked up three vintage action figures. I went rooting through all these boxes, found these wonderful things, haggled a price down with this guy, had a great chat with this guy that runs this comic book store. It's like a comic book DVD store. Yep. It's geek heaven. So I'd love to chat with him, haggled the price down. It was the full package. This experience was the full package. And I left with these three figures. Around about that time, Dan Solo published into our Facebook group, the VIP Facebook group, an image of his tracker where he keeps track of all of his figures. What condition they are? Are they beaters? Are they mock? What he needs yet to collect.
Right.
I said, Dan, send me that. So he sent me a copy of it. I built my own. And then I went through and I started checking them off and I thought, yep, Mom, I'm in this thing's clutches now. I've got my tracker there. I've got everything I own so far, which is behind me. All my beaters there. I've got a little counter on it telling me how many I own, how many I need. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm done for. That's it now.
Well, that's just it. And also, I know it's not comics, but real quick story. Dan Solo, that's his Twitter handle.
Yes.
And that's what he's known in the VIP group.
Yes, yes.
He went to Celebration, but he was told he had to hurry up and get back to the UK because he had a family function. So he didn't fly back with you. He flew back with me to Toronto.
Yes.
And I got off the plane, and then he continued from Toronto Pearson Airport to go to Heathrow.
Yeah.
Because he actually ended up in the UK quicker that way. He had to make his timeline work. But so Dan, he was, I think he boarded the, he was whatever, section B, and I was section C, or you know how they board planes and they do you in groups.
Yeah.
But he was getting on the plane. So when I walked on the plane, I saw him, and I got this on an airplane, got to look at him and go, "You're Dan Solo. This is the Millennium Falcon." Sorry, I know it's a horrible accent, but
it's great. What I should also do as well is shout him out, because when we were at Celebration with Dan, and I know this is toy talk as well, he mentioned our friend Jeremy, who hosts he's a co-host on the TSW Toy Box podcast, and mentioned that he wanted to do something for Jeremy because Jeremy had sent Dan a figure that Dan needed for his collection because he had a duplicate. Jeremy had ended up with doubles. Sent it to Dan, didn't ask for any money, didn't ask for any credit, just sent him to, because that's what we do in the community.
Yes.
And so Dan went hunting for something that Jeremy needed. And I knew Jeremy needed a Greedo. I can see Greedo over your shoulder there, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in there.
So Dan went looking, found a gorgeous Greedo, and picked it up and sent it to Jeremy. And that's the VIP community right there. Always looking out for each other. Wonderful.
Yeah. And Mark Airy, he asked me to pick him up that prototype Boba Fett with the launching rocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Has he sent you the 25 grand that he owes you yet, Rob?
But he told me when he messaged me, he goes, "What, you could just grab it." It's like, because I sent him pictures.
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, can you send pictures?" And I sent him pictures. He goes, "Oh, it's right there in front of you, can't you?" I'm like, "No, I'm Canadian.
It's behind glass." Yeah, you'll be saying sorry all the way out.
Oh, exactly.
Sorry. As I have to run as well with you, Rob.
Yes.
That would be the problem. I would have to run. So it would be worth me smash and grab that Vinocope jar as well. It's
yes, yeah. You make it worth your while.
In for a penny, in for a pound. In for a penny, in for a toonie. Right. I think that's it. Us done. So next month we're going to be looking at issue 10. Now, the teaser art for issue 10 of Darth Vader is very interesting. I don't know how much to invest in it because the artwork hasn't always been 100% accurate to the content of the next book.
It's kind of the opposite of issue 9.
Yes. Yeah, it is. You're seeing the reverse, really, aren't you?
Yeah.
But this time, Jocasta Nu does look like Jocasta Nu from the movie. Yeah. As a holocron, so a Jedi holocron. So I wonder where this is going to go. She cannot get out of this thing alive, so I guess we know. We should say, what do we rate issue 8 and issue 9? What are your ratings for these two books, Rob?
I'd say they're good solid 8s.
Yeah.
Like, they're great. They're great, but they're if I'm using number 5, no, they're, you know, 8. I think maybe when she faces, I think issue 8, I could put like an 8.5, but issue 9 will be an 8.
Okay. Well, I'm the reverse. I've got 8 as an 8 out of 10, 9 as an 8.5. There's stuff that 9 does. I have to mention the artwork and the art direction in this book. It felt very cinematic. It felt like it was moving. There are close-up panels of when Vader arrives at the temple and he starts to give the clones orders. It's the landing sequence.
Yeah.
The way the panels are laid out, the landing sequence, it just felt very cinematic. And I got swept along in it. And I thought, this is great. This is just a beautifully art-directed piece.
Yeah. And that's just it. And if anybody that's read issue 5, and if that's our benchmark, then you know, like, 8.58, it's a great score too. Like, dude, these are still really enjoyable, and I'm really impressed with these books.
Yeah, very, very much so. I think there aren't a lot of weak moments. The rifle that you put the lightsaber into, that might be a little bit shark jumpy for my taste. Don't know where that's going to go. I wasn't crazy about that aspect of it. And Jocasta Nu doesn't seem exactly like the character from the Clone Wars. I would like it if, when I'm reading her, that's the character that I'm imagining, but it's not so much, but I'm still loving it anyway. It's great stuff. Can't wait for this next edition.
Yeah, and actually being entertained by Jocasta Nu. Who knew?
Yeah, who'd have thought? Who's next? They had a long list of names earlier in the run, didn't they? So they'd be lining these characters up now, all to take the fall. Right, that's fantastic. So is that us done then, Rob, for the month?
Yeah.
Such a shame we didn't have Tim with us this month. But, like we
said
before,
we'll have lots to talk about with but we had the what's coming out next week? Is the prequel to The Last Jedi or something that ties into...
It's a one-shot, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, so we're going to get that on the 27th, or it's due out on the 27th.
Yeah, so it will be out by the time this episode drops on the main feed.
Yeah.
That book will be out, so we'll be gearing up to sort of get together and discuss that, I guess.
Yeah, and how badly do you want a Snoke, just even a five book history?
I really, really hope so. I don't know if we should expect that before 9. I think that it will probably do something that like that later when they're well and truly clear of that character.
I'm just asking for a comic. I'll write it.
Yeah. Oh, I'll do that. I've got some previous.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, so Lucasfilm, if you're listening.
Yeah, I really do love that character, and that was one of the things I was most sad to see in The Last Jedi, is the departure from that character that we know.
Yeah.
But I look forward to them being able to tell that story in full at some point in some, hopefully this medium.
Yes.
That would be wonderful if they did.
Yeah, because I think, again, it just seems something with dark side and Sith, or it just, they jump off the page so
really works. Brilliantly.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's because, the heroes are fantastic. They can be a little bit one note. These villains are way fun. Much more fun to follow, and then the heroes become the foil to that glorious texture of these bad guys. So bring it on. Bring on Snoke. I want to learn know more about that character, but don't expect that until after 2019.
Yeah, wish list.
Yeah, there we go. Sith wish list. didn't we do this the other day, the Sithmouth?
Yes.
All right. Okay, let's wrap this up. Rob, where can people find you between episodes, old chap?
You can find me at Robert MM Cass on the Twitter machine, and also you can check out the Roundtable, that's where I get together once a month with the VIPs and hosts from around the Commonwealth. So, and also, too, a note to the VIPs, if you have any interest in being on one of these podcasts and you want to be part of Talk Star Wars and actually see what it's like to be here behind the mic, just send me a personal message and we'll make sure we'll get you on the get you on the round table.
Yeah, we got a little something cooking up in the background there. I won't go into details, yes, yep. But we've had a discussion and we think we might be able to do something so that they become maybe a little bit more frequent and maybe there's a little bit more variety in there for us as we try and fill that gap between Solo and Episode 9. So there's some interesting stuff coming, to be sure. Yeah, but throw your name in there for Rob so that we can tie you all into it.
Yeah, and also, too, I just want to mention, I say this to everybody that, you know, we got full control of the edit. You're not going to be on After Dark Side. Yeah, I don't. Mark gets to polish show. I don't ship him any of the off mic stuff. So.
Yeah, no, that's always welcome, Rob. Especially when I'm putting it out without the PG-13 or the
that's right,
or the adult content rating. All right, you can. I know he's absent this month, but you can find Tim at the Nerd RM on Twitter and check out the Nerd Room and check out all the Commonwealth podcasts. Actually, our partner podcasts, all of them are wonderful. We might be growing soon. I'll just throw that out there. We always like to look out for new and interesting shows. You can find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk and I'm on Twitter at talkstarwars. And if you become a patron, you'll hear me every day on the exclusive daily podcast, which is a lot of fun to do. All right, that's it for another month. So again, just to reiterate, Happy New Year to everybody as we move out of the year of The Last Jedi and into the year of Solo, A Star Wars Story. Stay safe, everybody, whatever you're doing, and have a lot of fun. We'll see you next month.
Bye.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Find us at starwarscommonwealth.com alongside
The Tumbling Saber Podcast,
The Generation X-Wing Podcast,
Rogue Squadron Podcast,
The Skyhoppers Podcast,
The TSW Roundtable,
The Nerd Room Podcast,
and San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast.
Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world.